Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study, our book of Romans. We're going to pick it up here in chapter 11. Chapter 11 is a beautiful chapter in as much as Paul gives his proper genealogy. He's a Benjamite of the tribe of Benjamin after the seed of Abraham. And the fact is, what he is driving home is that our Father has been well in control even from the first earth age, where he chose certain people. Why? Because they stood against the false one. And then certain people, you've had people you've tried to talk to and that you just could not get through, because God himself, as stated in this 11th chapter, put the spirit of slumber upon them until it is their time to hear the word. But then many of Israel fell in disbelief, and through this, God grafted in the Gentile, which documents God loves all his children, both the six-day creation, the eight-day creation, all of God's children. He loves them, and he sent the Savior not just for one. And even though he talks about the election and the remnant, which are people God can utilize, he still loves all people. So therefore, he explains and he uses the olive tree. And if you know what the olive tree means in the Greek tongue, it is El-Yah. So you have El, which is God's title, and Yah is his sacred name. And he uses that to say those some of those natural branches were shaken off. Why? They don't believe. God's a pruner. If you don't work with him, if you don't trust his plan, he'll whack you off of that tree. But then you can always be grafted back in through Christ, as well as anyone can be. So, and Paul is explaining here to the Gentile, which part of his admission, Paul's credentials, as they were given by God himself in Acts chapter 9, verse 15 and 16, was that he was sent. His message is to Israel. His message is to the Gentiles. His message is to the king and queens of the ethnos, which is to say the Gentile. It covers everyone. But it is a three-level ministry, and you can always hear that if you listen carefully. So, with that having been said, he's, as he talks about the grafting in and the fact that if he makes this tree from the same lump, then the root's holy and everything that grows off of it is holy also. So when you're grafted in, which is not natural, you don't take a wild plant and graft it into a good producing tree. But God did that because he loves all of his children. That's a point you want to always consider. So having said that, let's pick it up with a word of wisdom from our Father. Romans chapter 11, verse 17. Let's go with it. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, the Gentile, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, that's Eliyahu, If you partake of that, then certainly you become holy also, which is to say in Christ, whomsoever will believe, you find salvation. Verse 18, boast not against the branches, don't you brag about it. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. In other words, the very holy lump is the one that's carrying you. You prideful is what made Satan fall. You start boasting and bragging about it, you're going out. Love holds the many-membered body together. In other words, verse 19, thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Verse 20, well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And that's lack of faith. Because they didn't have any faith, that's why God broke them off. And thou standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear. That's to say you revere God. And do you know where wisdom comes from? It comes from revering our Heavenly Father. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. All wisdom comes from God, and the beginning of your knowledge is when you revere rather than fear, translated either way, the Hebrew word. Then wisdom will come to you, and a fool hates wisdom, knowledge. So there you have it. Let it flow. 21. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. You want to know. It's not a natural thing that you're there. You misbehave, you're out of here. Verse 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. Look how good he is, but yet at the same time, his severity. On them which fell, severity. They didn't have any faith. They didn't believe. But toward thee, goodness, if. There's that big old word, if. That means there's a condition here. What's the condition? If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise, thou also shall be cut off. In other words, you have to practice that faith. Now, in the last lecture, what did we learn about faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it is the word of God itself that strengthens you, that gives you that faith, that brings the solidity into the tree of life, whereby you have eternal life when you believe on him, when you believe in his goodness, and when you react to his goodness. 23, and they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, if they will change their way and switch back to faith, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. In other words, it is a matter that they fell aside because they didn't believe God opened the door through Christ's crucifixion, that whomsoever will believe, that they're grafted into that tree. And those that were in disbelief, if you have a relative that won't hear the truth, if they change, they will still be grafted in. Why? Because of the goodness of God. The severity, because he thumps gourds, he corrects. But the goodness, because when they change, when they even try, then he brings that forth. Verse 24. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Now, and so it is that God will go to the unnatural. Why is it unnatural? Well, usually, let's take pecans, which probably we graft more into pecans. Pecans, you can take a wild tree trunk, and you can graft in paper shell pecans, which is cultured and natural, but cultured, a much better pecan. And you always, no farmer is going to graft down his crop. He's going to graft it up. That's only natural. So what I want you to do, I want you to understand our Father here. He doesn't consider the Gentile as grafting down. But when they believe, truly believe, then they're worthy to be grafted up, which is to say into God's very goodness, and showing you God does not show partiality to any person that has faith. That's why the natural is so important, that you grasp it, that God does not show preference, so that you know and understand the goodness, as well as you want to understand the severity. That's the way he is. Verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, until what? Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now, here the mystery of God, he puts it right in your face so that you that have ears to hear can hear, you that have eyes to see can see. Do you know what he's quoting from here? Do you know what he has reference to? Luke chapter 21 is the profile, the side profile of Mark 13 and Matthew 24. Of the events, the seven things that consummate the end of this age. That's the seven trumps, seven vials, and seven seals. And what it does, it gives you a side view where you can have a better understanding of the end times. What did he mean, the mystery? What is that mystery? Well, if we go to Luke, if we go to Luke 21 and we pick it up, I'm going to pick it up in verse 22. You won't have it. Listen to me. This is the events that consummate the end of this age. Learn the mystery. Verse 22 of Luke 21. For these be the days of vengeance. That's when God begins to take hold. That all things which are written may be fulfilled. That's every prophecy, everything coming to pass is going to be fulfilled. It's going to happen into this generation of the fig tree. Verse 23, but woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. Now, what does that mean? What are you supposed to be spiritually? This is spiritual. It's not physical. It's always a blessing for a mother to carry a babe in her womb. This is spiritual, meaning you're supposed to be a virgin bride spiritually waiting for the true Christ. And if you start messing around with the false Christ and attend his wedding and become spiritually impregnated and produce, if you would, children by teaching his word and nursing along his work, then you're in a heap of hurt, friend. That means you were deceived by the Antichrist himself and took part in a fake wedding. And quite frankly, how does Christ feel about this? Well, he wants you. The reason he uses this analogy is if you've been on a long trip away from home for 3 or 4 years and you come home and find your wife with child. Or if you're a female, you've been away for 3 or 4 years, you come home and find your husband has a child with the next door neighbor, you're not a happy camper. Well, how do you, Christ wants you to know that if you have not read his word and if you fall off to the false Christ, he hates it. He's jealous. He doesn't like it. He has the same emotions. Verse 24 to continue. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations because of lies. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles. This is why we came here. Until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Do you know what happens as soon as the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled? This is the mystery. Listen to it. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing from fear for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. In other words, then you're going to see the true Christ return. So, the mystery being, you want to be shaken out of the olive tree? Then don't wait for the true Christ. Fall off to this fake. This is why he would say in that same chapter, if they tell you he's in the desert, don't you believe it. He's a fake. Don't go. He's a false Christ. And certainly do not wed him, or you will pay the price for it. You know, truth is a beautiful thing. See that you're not shaken from the tree in the severity of God. Why? He's severe. If you don't love him and if you love somebody else, it's the day of vengeance. He's going to shake you out. So he uses this analogy in a very simple way. And yet at the same time, with the severity, brings in the true mystery, where there's no need for you to be blindsided by events of the times when you have the Word of God. Let's go on with the next verse, then, returning back to the 11th chapter of Romans, verse 26. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. This does not happen until the end of the millennium, because many of those branches knocked out of that tree will be out even until almost the end of the millennium. But God knows his way, and God is judge, and we leave judging to him. 27, for this is my covenant, this is my contract unto them, when I shall take away their sins. In other words, when on their repentance, but they will repent, they'll earn it. God doesn't give things away for free. Verse 28, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. The election, they were chosen in advance. They were chosen from the foundations of the world, as it is written in Ephesians 1, verse 4, and how precious it is. Our Father is the judge, and you will always leave judging in his hands. Verse 29, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. These gifts are charisma. That means when God gives you a gift, let's say to teach, you're going to have charisma. That charisma, it is there, and you know it is from our Heavenly Father, not necessarily the person, because all gifts come from God. And once he gives that gift, it's without repentance. You may have some preacher fall big time in sin and whatever. Don't worry, God's not going to turn him loose. Those gifts are given without repentance. He's going to thump his gourd, put him in shape, and he's going to continue on. God uses whomever he so chooses, and so it is. If you understand election, then you can live with that a little better and quite gracefully. Verse 30, for as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Showing that God loves all of his children. And he made this available to all of his children. We have a loving Father. And he does not play favorites. And yet at the same time, he's not a respecter of persons. But I guarantee you, if he has a contract with you, you're going to fulfill it. Verse 31, even so have these also now not believed that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. Unmerited favor, that's what mercy is. You don't really deserve it, but if you love the Lord and he forgives your sins, you're going to be grafted in. Okay, he's going to welcome you with open arms. Verse 32, for God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. In other words, some of them, he shut them up. He sent the spirit of slumber so that everyone could have the opportunity. He had a reason. And that reason will always be made up for in his contract. That's why you want to always let God be judge, for he is fair, whether you think so or not. He's totally, completely fair. And if he has touched you and given you the truth and eyes to see, then you're blessed indeed. Accept it and love him. Return that love. That's mercy, all right? Unmerited favor. Verse 33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. His mysteries are just, they're not. Once you absorb the word and follow it, it flows like honey over the buds of your mind. And you can find them out if you have the faith, if you will follow his word, if you always pray to God's will, not your own. Verse 34, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? You know, you might hear some preacher say, well, I'm going to lock myself away and minister to God. God doesn't need you to minister to him. He kind of knows everything. He wrote the book. Okay. What you want to do is shut yourself away and let him minister to you through the Holy Spirit. God doesn't need a counselor. He's in. Again, I'm going to go there real quick. Proverbs, I mentioned that, and I think it's important that we partake of that and understand where that knowledge and where that wisdom comes from. It's very important. And I quoted that Proverbs 1 and Proverbs 1:6. I'm going to start there. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their days, their dark sayings. A wise person can do that. They can understand a parable. Verse 7, this is why we came here. The fear, and that Greek, that Hebrew word will translate revere or fear. In this case, revere, to love him enough you want to learn. Of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's the beginning. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. They're not going to go there. And there you have it. So know this, that the knowledge of God is a beautiful thing. It's this word. Do you understand that's why he sent you this letter? It's sent to you for you to read with understanding, whereby you can absorb it and understand those mysteries. Where once the truth flows, then there is no mystery any longer. Well, what dispels the darkness of the mystery? Faith. Faith in him. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God will reveal it to you through the Holy Spirit and giving you that unction and your desire and your love toward him. Your wanting. And when you ask, you will receive. Let's go with the next verse in chapter 11, verse 35. Or who has first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again, naturally, 36. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. That's eternal life. He is, our Father is it, and you can be so happy because he is your Father. And he plays no favorites. The tree is there for anyone to be grafted into by loving the Lord Jesus Christ, by finding the goodness of the body. And our Father continues, and we're going to continue right on into chapter 12, the same thought. Verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies, and that's the unmerited favor of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's your duty. What does that mean? Well, God says in Hosea 6:6, I do not want your burnt offerings. I don't want you putting that on my altar any longer. I want you. I want you to love me. Your love is what I want you to sacrifice. I want you to dedicate yourself a living sacrifice to the living God. And what you do when you do that, you dedicate yourself to not just living in the flesh, but eternal life. It's yours for the asking, for the dedication, for the giving. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. Don't let it get a grip on you. But be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is why it is so ever important that you always pray for God's will to be done, not yours. Because His will is perfect. He wrote the book. He knows what tomorrow is going to bring, basically. He will let anyone make their own choice as to which road they take. But if you give yourself and dedicate yourself to Him, He wants you to stick to the Word, stick to the book, stick to the plan, and talk to Him and praying that it is God's will that be done, and certainly not some will of the world. Verse 3 to continue. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, that means seriously, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith, as he gives out those gifts, that you take what he gives you and let it grow with understanding and leadership and what he equips you with. And quite frankly, what he does not wish you to do is to think yourself, if God blesses you tremendously with certain gifts, don't take it as prideful among yourself and think of yourself so highly that you're some holy Joe. Okay? Because you pretty soon you're going to be a self-righteous hypocrite if you do. Why? It all comes from Him. You cannot take credit for it. You've got to give God the credit, because it was His gift to you that brings it forth. Therefore, you must humbly accept the gift and give the praise and love to the living Father. Verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Every member of the body of Christ has a different duty. You have, example, you have an arm, you have an elbow, it lets the arm bend. You have a wrist, it lets the hand bend, and you have fingers that you can pick things up. And it takes the whole thing to function properly. You don't have the whole body being some big thumb. How would it look if the church was some big thumb walking around? Okay, it wouldn't be very pretty. It's a whole body, and it takes all. Verse 5, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. And I would give you some good advice. Don't ever forget who the head is. The head is Christ. Verse 6, having then gifts, that's charisma, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith that God gives you. Verse 7, our ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. Prophecy and teaching are basically the same. Why? Because a real teacher teaches what the prophets were given, because it all comes from Almighty God. It's God's Word. Therefore, they were basically one and the same. But God gives different people different gifts, but it is all of the same body. It is necessary. Before the church, the many-membered body can function, it must have all parts of that body. And verse 8, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence and experience in earnest. He that showeth mercy, that's to say love and understanding, with cheerfulness that you accept. It takes the whole body, especially when it's a gifted body, a body that serves God. One that showeth mercy, they visit the sick. They hold up the sick. And it is Christ's body that took the stripes, and from that we get the healing. And how precious it is that the whole body functions together, bringing forth the word of God in whatever part you might have. And something that is very difficult, I suppose, it all pays the same. And thank God for that. Verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. In other words, rightly dividing the word of God and letting God's word flow. You know something? God's word will always, if you will listen to it and pay heed, dedicating yourself to it, it will always bring the best out in the body of Christ. That is not to say that Satan is not going to attempt to disrupt that body, but that's all right. We know how to handle him. Why? In the name of Christ, we have power over all of our enemies. But at the same time, how beautiful it is to have the word of God and to know and to understand that within it come the blessings. Mercy, which is what? Unmerited favor. Well, what does unmerited favor mean? It means we probably don't deserve it. But he loves us anyway on repentance. And it is washed clean. The many-membered body of Christ, when it functions on this word and truth and on faith, how is it again that faith comes? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Not the word of man, not the word of the world, not some television set of world events, but the word of God. It will always hold you, love you, and bless you. All right, bless your hearts. Don't miss the next lecture. Listen a moment, won't you please?
Genesis 1:46, the first six chapters in God's Word. The world that was. Did you realize there was a world age before this one? Same old world, different age. The creation itself. When were the races created? You see, all the races were created separately, and you'll find that documented in these particular tapes. How and what was the sin in the garden? It will be discussed in this series also. This is a must for the serious Bible scholar, for if you do not understand how it was in the beginning, you certainly will never understand the end. I think you will find this series very rewarding and certainly will answer questions that no doubt you've always wondered about. Genesis 1:46. Hey, I know you're going to enjoy this series.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves, you got a question, you share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular reverend, denomination, or organization. We're not going to judge people. We don't have that right. Why? We've got to judge. It's our Father. You pray that His will be done. You do have the right, and it is a gift from God called spiritual discernment, whether you're hearing truth or fiction. And your very eternal life depends on that. So always be wise. How do you gain wisdom? Today we found out, didn't we? Proverbs 1:7. Wisdom always comes from God. Let Him rule. Okay, those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you, and your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Again, always a pleasure. Got a prayer request? You don't need that number or an address. Why? God knows what you're thinking right now. You do not even have to say it out loud. He's a cardio knower, is how the Greek puts it. He knows your heart and mind. You don't have to say it. Therefore, no one can ever prevent you from praying, because they would not know you were even praying. But He does. Why? Because He loves you. Always let Him know that that love is returned, and that you love Him. Father, around the globe we come, we ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, and question time. We're going to go with Virginia from Pennsylvania. We know where some of the tribes of Israel are, but what about the Levites? Where are they? Well, the Levites were the priest. And the priests were not allowed to have property other than Anathoth, one place of rest that God put aside for them. When you do the book of Jeremiah, you know there is the deed buried there for them. But each tribe received their portion of Levites. Now, in the last lecture or so, since we've done the book of Joshua, this term Nethinim comes in. When you're reading the book of Ezra and we're going back to rebuild Jerusalem, it says, and these are the Nethinim that were with them. Nethinim is a term that means given to service, and they were given liturgical duties. They were not Israelites. They lied to gain that place. So they filled the job as a priest, because the priest started out wanting them to cut the wood for the altar. We just hate to go out there and cut that wood and just have to work like that. Let them go cut that wood, and then pretty soon they let them wear priest robes and kind of begin the fire and everything else. They took over. And you can read in Ezra chapter 8, verse 15, somewhere along there, that Joshua, Ezra, when he took inventory to see how many Levites he had with him, his portion, there wasn't any. They didn't even come going back to the holy city. They stayed there and sent the Nethinim. That is to say, people paid to do liturgical duty rather than the real thing. So he sent, unfortunately, made a bad mistake and sent a Nethinim back to get priests, Levitical, so they would have their portion. So that's why that you do not find an allotment for the Levites, because each tribe had an allotment of priests with them doing God's work in each of the tribes that was supposed to bring God's blessings as they enfolded and adhered to God's word. David from Texas, I enjoy your teachings and the clarity it provides. Thank you. My question revolves around where souls reside at this point in time. We know that the souls that have overcome are on the right side of the gulf, and that would be in paradise, of course, and those souls that have not overcome are on the left. My question is, where do the souls that are awaiting birth of woman reside? With God. Can we document that? Of course we can. It's real easy. It is written in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 concerning death, that when the old clay pot breaks, these flesh bodies and the silver cord parts, then our spirit, which is the intellect of your soul, returns to the Father from whence it came. So they came from the Father, because they were with Him, and naturally they go back to Him in paradise. Frank from California, thank you for your comment. Have a question. It is about the sixth seal. When did it take place? The Great Tribulation seems to be part of it. Has it occurred? No, the sixth seal has not occurred. The sixth trump certainly has not occurred. The sixth seal has, the seal simply let us know what's going to happen at the sixth trump. We know what happens at the sixth trump. We know what happens at the great river Euphrates and what transpires after that. And I feel that you, if you're very aware and you're a watchman, you're looking right now. We're knocking at the door of that sixth, but it has not happened yet. Dear Mr. Murray, my name is Dakota. I am 10 years old, and I'm from Albuquerque. I have a question. Who began to write the Old Testament? P.S., you are my favorite preacher. Sincerely, Dakota. Well, God bless you. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Well, you know, at 10 years old, you got... That's a real good question. What were the... Naturally, let me answer it this way, Dakota. God was the writer, but he had scribes. Moses was a scribe, as it is written. He was a son. He was of the Levitical priesthood. And he wrote what the first five books of the Bible. And so it is that he started it, and God utilized him for that. Moses, and so it is. It's good to have you with us. Thanks for studying God's Word. David from Wisconsin. Is there any scripture defining who was the second guardian cherub? God bless you. Well, it is not written, but however... if you were to take an educated opinion, naturally, the cherubim of rank that would control Satan after he fell was who? It was the Archangel Michael. So I feel that Michael was the one that was on the other end of that ark. But that is my opinion. It's not written. But certainly Michael, as we know in Revelation chapter 12, verse 6 and 7, he's in charge. He's holding Satan right now. He won't let him come to earth until he kicks him out very soon when he comes as the false Messiah. So, and there you have it. But we don't truly know who it was, but it only makes sense that certainly the one who would control him would be the other archangel that had risen. Those were probably two of the highest rankings, was cherubims that covered the mercy seat, which is Christ's seat. Okay, we have Mary from Canada. Bible study now, you are responsible for my switching over to the King James Bible. Well, thank you. I'm glad you left the NIV. That's great. Okay, Genesis... In Genesis chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2, you say there was a flood that did away with fallen angels and immortal, violent people, but there's nothing written about it. Yes, there is. Have you ever read Jeremiah chapter 4, beginning with verse 18, where God, they've threatened God to not follow and this, that, and the other? You say, hey, don't mess with me. I destroyed every city, every person, and you're not talking about Noah's flood. He's talking about the Ketubah. Or have you, first of all, when you mention verse 2, you hear me use the Hebrew occasionally, and it's important because the word was, the earth was void and without form, is incorrect. The manuscripts say the earth became void and without form, tohu vavohu, meaning it wasn't created that way. It became that way because God destroyed it because of Satan's fall. You can read of it in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 18. And let's see, pharmacists and drug dealers. I've tried looking this up in the Strong's Concordance, and I can't find anything. Well, what word is translated pharmacia? It's sorcerer. In the New Testament, let's take in Revelation chapter 21, where it says there will not be any more sorcerers. Why? Because they're gone. They're done away with. But what does the word sorcerer mean? It means a pharmacist, a dealer in drugs. It is not a legal one, but illegal. And you can find it by checking out the word sorcerer in the Greek in the New Testament. And certainly God does not go with drugs. You're supposed to have the Holy Spirit to enlighten you and lift you, not some drug. And so it is. God will not tolerate it. He often talks of the poppy and how that it is vile and poisonous and from drugs. He won't tolerate it. Christine from Indiana, is the prophecy in Daniel chapter 11 being fulfilled now? Well, it's very part of it certainly is. We know that it has to do with the Arab nations in part, the kings of the north and the king of the south. And we know also that the raiser of taxes was to have but a short time. And certainly we're watching real closely. Anyone that comes along trying to raise taxes, we watch it very closely. Charlotte from Florida. Let's see, this is quite long. Thank you for your comments about the chapel. My questions are concerning and regarding fellowship. I'm asked if I don't go to church, what about fellowship? My answer at the time was, I'm a member of Shepherd's Chapel. And this answer brings raising eyebrows. Anyway, please let me know if I'm going in the right direction. Fellowship is coming together to learn God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse, and tithing where I'm fed. I'm in the Word more now than I ever was in the other churches. Not all, but most churches that I've visited believe in tongues, the rapture, and the sermons are feel-good commentaries, loosely backed by Scripture. How do I explain fellowship with my church? Because you're fellowshipping. You know, we fellowship through the ether waves. The Holy Spirit touches us. I'm touched by your letter, and certainly touched real strong by it. And God loves you for that. So that's how you fellowship. And don't worry, when God delivers you up before the false one, you will have that fellowship of the Holy Spirit stronger than ever. Okay, Benjamin from California. In the second epistle of John, he encourages the elect lady and her children to love one another. Who is the elect lady and who are her children? The children of the elect and Mother Israel. What he's saying, basically, one of the shortest books in the Bible, only one chapter. And what he's encouraging, if somebody brings, as one of God's elect, you learn the truth. You know what happened in the garden, and you know pretty well the foundation of God's Word. And what he's saying is, in that little short book, if somebody else brings any other message or doctrine other than the Word of God, other than the doctrine of Christ, if they bring that, don't you as much as even wish them Godspeed, or you become a partaker of their evil deeds? Especially if you were tithing to somebody that were false teachers, then you become a part of it. So it's a very serious little book, and if a person does not have a conviction from God, fantastic, don't even worry about it. But if God gives you a conviction about it, then certainly you want to pay attention. Okay, this would be Michael from Texas. Hello, Dr. Murray. I'm 7 years old, and I always watch your program with my mom. Thank you for teaching me about the Bible. Can you please pray for my dad? And I see, and I will. Not only, I'll tell you what, Michael, not only will I pray for your dad, but I'm going to ask everybody in this audience all the way around the world to pray for your dad too, because there you are 7 years old and you have faith. You have faith to ask. And you ask and you're going to receive. So thank you and God bless you. Don from Texas. My question is about the Nephilim. Science talks about a lot about all the dinosaurs' bones that have been found elsewhere, but very little is said about the giants of old. Can you tell me why? Thank you. Well, number one, there wasn't all that many of them. But then, you know, when you make a study of Petra, we find buildings there that are befitting of giants, doorways and so on and so forth. And certainly, don't think the giants didn't exist. They were hybrids. And hybrids meaning what? Well, the fallen angels mixed with the daughters of Adam, which was contrary to the plan of God. This is why it's written in the book of Jude in verses 1 through 6 that they left their first place of habitation. And that place of habitation, of course, was heaven. They came and seduced woman rather than being born of woman. That didn't work out real good for them because it brings about their final being, that is to say, death. It is a sin unto the death, and so it is. But there have been certain things found and that document. But God's word is very subtle about it, and they certainly did exist. But again, the main point being they were hybrids was the damage. Jan from Alabama. Where in God's word does it say loved ones will be looking down on us from heaven when they die, watching over us? Thank you. Well, now, Jan, the Bible doesn't exactly say that. Okay. However, we know that when one does die, they become as the angels. They're in spiritual bodies. And we know that people approach Daniel, and Daniel worshiped them, and Daniel said, hey, you get up from there. I'm a man just like you are. Only he was in spiritual body, of course. So it is written, and this is probably what you have reference to. It is written in Matthew chapter 18, verse 10. I'll say it again. Matthew 18:10, that if you are one of God's elect, your angel in heaven has the face of God at any time you need help or are in trouble. So naturally, there is nothing that would prevent your angel in heaven being a loved one. Okay, it could be certainly somebody that cared about you, or they wouldn't be watching out for you. So that's something we cannot absolutely teach, that it would be a relative, but it certainly stands to common sense. And much of God's word is exactly that, common sense. Prisca from California. I've been blessed by God with two beautiful children. I am a young single mom who has also been blessed with a supporting, loving family. Recently, I was diagnosed with kidney disease and possibly cancer. My question to you is, how do I maintain my faith in such a trying time? I find it hard to hold strong to my faith with so many problems coming about. Prisca from California. Well, you've got a lot to be thankful for, even with this. But anoint yourself with the oil of our people and ask God to heal you. Okay. You've got those beautiful daughters that you need to take care of. Ask God to heal you, touch you. Mainly pray that His will be done. But don't, here at a time of trouble, don't let your faith wane. That's when you need it stronger than ever. hey, he loves you. He's been good to you. And you say that you have a good family. That is a blessing. A lot of people would give a lot for that and feel blessed. So I want you to feel blessed also. But the main thing is I want you to anoint yourself and ask God to heal you. Read Isaiah of chapter 53, where his body took the stripes. We get the healing. You get the healing. Bless you. You go for it. You are a daughter of God. You act like it. You stand strong. Tracy from Kansas. What can I do about my mother not talking to me anymore? She has not talked to me for about 4 months now, and I am about giving up. I pray every day now. It really hurts. Okay, and I'll be out of time. Let her know you love her. Ask God to lead you in that. And if you offended her some way, repent of it to God and then repent of it to her. Let her know you love her. Moms are real nice. Okay, I'm out of time. I love you all because you enjoy studying God's Word. Most of all, God loves you for it. Makes His day. And when you make God's day, boy, is He going to make yours. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we have helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, you bless God, He will always bless you. He'll sure do it. And now, most important though, you listen to me. Listen good now. You stay in His Word every day. In His Word is a good day, even with trouble. You know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.